And turn in your Bible, please, to John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14, and probably as soon as I say John 14, you think of John 14, 6. And that's a wonderful text of God's Word, but that's not our text for this morning. Do you believe in prayer? I would think that you do. We have already prayed in this service, and nobody got up and left out in protest and walked out the building. No one did that. Do you believe in praying in Jesus' name? Trying to get your attention. This is all by design. No, but rather, if it doesn't stop, we'll have to keep on with that. I don't know what that is all about. Thank you, Gary. You did a good job there, right on the spot. I wonder what that's all about. Shall we begin again? But yes, prayer. Think about prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Do you pray? What is prayer? Here's a question. Does God answer your prayers? Do you have any prayers that you are now praying that God has not yet answered? You know, this is a subject that deserves some consideration, and so we'll look at it today. I got saved. I came to Christ as my personal Savior when I was 18. Up until that time, I was taught to pray. I was exposed to praying. I was raised in a home where my mother had one of the children pray before we ate. The prayer was, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. That's a good prayer. Before we went to sleep at night, we were taught to pray a prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That is a good prayer. I often wonder how much the Lord used such simple things in my life to shape me. We tend to push back against prayers like that because we would tend to be thinking that spontaneous prayers have more merit. We don't find that teaching in the Scripture. We don't find in the Scripture that spontaneity has merit. We do find that there's great danger to praying vain prayers, mindless prayers, saying things where our mind, our heart, our soul is not engaged, but we just kind of go through the motions. God warns us not to do that. The problem is not that we say the same thing. The problem is when we are not spiritually engaged in the saying of it. It's not that saying a prayer where we're not spiritually engaged is sinful. The problem is that if we say a prayer when we're not spiritually engaged, we can quickly become deluded into thinking that we did indeed pray when we didn't. We just said words. We didn't really talk to God. When I first learned to pray, and I don't mean as a child, but I mean when I came to Christ, when I realized that prayer was talking to my Father, not just the Father, prayer was talking to my Savior, not just the Savior, I began to learn to pray and began to study what the Bible says about prayer. And I soon learned that in the cultural setting where I was, the church that I attended, the brothers that I was around, and sisters, typically, when we came to the end of our prayer, we would say, in Jesus' name, amen. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. But we'd like to examine that today, this idea of praying in Jesus' name. Is it a good practice to say those words at the end of a prayer? Is it necessary to say those words at the end of a prayer? Why do we say such words at the end of a prayer? Let me encourage you to look at John 14. We'll look at several verses here and establish at the front end that praying in Jesus' name is a thoroughly biblical concept. John 14 and verse 13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He substantiates that further and repeats it in verse 14 when he says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." An immature spiritual view of this verse would be to say, "Oh, okay. If the Bible says, 'If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it,' an immature way to look at that, spiritually immature, would be to say, 'Okay, well, the meaning of that is self-evident. As long as I say in Jesus' name, as long as I pray in Jesus' name, then anything that I ask, God will do it.' That's what it says. 'If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.'" Anything. It's as broad as the verse that would say, "Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely." There's no restriction there. I mean, if God says what he means, and God means what he says, then I can ask anything as long as it's in his name, and he will do it. You can see, I hope already, if you're not willing to just stay spiritually mature, that there must be something more to "in Jesus' name" than just verbalizing three words. Indeed, there is. Look at John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, "Ye have not chosen me." So here he's specifically speaking to these that he has chosen. But he said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." This is very personal. Certain people that are chosen. Beyond that it says, "and ordained you." God has not only chosen these people, but Jesus says, not only are you chosen, but "I have ordained you," that is, "I have commissioned you," that is, "I have ordered you," that is, "I have commanded you," that is, I have charted a path for you. I have chosen you, not just to be chosen, but in order to accomplish something. I've chosen you and ordained you, look, "that ye should go and bring forth fruit," in other words, influence others, "and that your fruit should remain," in other words, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's real, "that," look, "that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." One more verse, John 16, verse 23, passage, I should say. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you," look, "whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Fascinating here. It's amazing that Jesus includes the Father here. Verse 23. God the Father. He talks in verse 23 about asking the Father, and that the Father will give based in some measure, whatever this means, on the idea that it's in my name. He goes on in verse 24. This is very interesting. When he says, "Hitherto," in other words, up to this point, "you have asked nothing in my name." He's not saying you never prayed. He's not saying you've never asked. He's saying you have asked nothing in my name. "Ask," he says. "Ask," to these disciples. "Ask. Ask. Pray. Seek. Find. Knock. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." It's clearly There is something very important about praying in Jesus' name. The question is, what does that mean? Does it simply mean that whenever I pray, make sure that at some point when I come to the conclusion of that, I kind of tie it up and there's a nice neat bow that I put on this package when it's all wrapped that says, in Jesus' name, amen? Well, we know that's not what it means. It does not mean just adding the phrase to the end of every prayer. This is not a magic formula. This is not some magic words like abracadabra. Right? You know, the magician might say something goofy like that. You know, kind of like to draw attention and poof, you know, or maybe poof. I don't know what he'd say. But, you know, it's not magic words. It's not the words as such. It's not the idea that a prayer that encompasses or uses the words in Jesus' name is a good prayer, and a prayer that does not is not good. It's not that the words in Jesus' name by themselves in some naked, mindless, thoughtless way that somehow that has merit. Human nature is such that we desperately want to do something for God. We desperately want to earn His grace. We want to merit His favor. We want to have a part in this answered prayer. We want to be able to recognize or be recognized for the idea that we perceived and we prayed and somehow even fallen human nature wants to be able to do something to merit God's grace. And so we have this ability as God's children, those of us who are Christian people, born again, we know Jesus as our personal Savior. Those of us still have that Adamic nature, that old nature, that human nature in us that wants to get the emphasis back on ourselves. But just simply saying in Jesus' name doesn't get it. There's more. We know that these words are not some magic formula. We know that there's no merit in just saying them in a vain way, a mindless way. We know of religions that pray different prayers, but very sincerely, with great faith, and even great diligence and discipline, and even sacrifice of life, where they perhaps would use beads and put one bead over every time they say the prayer. Say the same thing over and over. We know others where they believe that prayer is more special if they are pointed in a certain geographical direction. And the idea is that the more they pray and the more disciplined they pray, that somehow they're gaining merit with the Lord. And you and I can believe the same false thinking, but in a different fashion. That somehow, in Jesus' name, is this magic, mindless three words that when we say them, there is merit. God, do you remember the passage of Scripture in John 4 where Jesus spoke to this unsaved, as yet we believe unsaved, Samaritan woman and said, the Father seeks such to worship Him, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's in contrast with mindless worship, thoughtless worship. The way I read the psalm this morning, I say that not just to read it, but to evoke thought in you. I try to read it in a thoughtful way so that some of those thoughts stick, so that they go on in our minds. Gary does a great job in singing and in leading the singing to try to introduce so that our minds are stimulated. There is no worship if there is no mental activity. When we zone out in any of our worship, when the lights are on and nobody's home, it's not worship. I mean, we want our church, you know, there's a lot of churches today who have no understanding of this. Listen, can I just say this? Children's church is next door. This is adult church.
You know what the difference is? We think at a higher level. I hope. You know, we want to have preaching that has some intellectual substance to it, if I could put it that way. I mean, if the message here is no better, no different than over there, why do they go? Say, what does in Jesus' name mean? Well, we know that it's not just adding a few words at the end of a prayer. How do we know that? Well, think of prayers in the Bible. You'll never find a prayer in the Bible that includes in Jesus' name, amen, at the end. For example, when the disciples went to Jesus and said, teach us to pray, he said, when you pray, say. When you pray, say this. He said, when you want to pray, speak these words. We would not agree with the idea that those words themselves, mindlessly spoken, have merit. On the other hand, I think it is a wrong thinking to somehow say that those prayers repeated have no merit. There's nothing wrong with saying the Our Father prayer. As long as your heart is engaged, as long as you are talking to the Father. If you think, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come. I grew up like that. I used to say that all the time as a child. I learned that prayer. I had to pray it. It's like the sooner I get done with this, I get to go to sleep or whatever it is. And I'm being honest with you, I was just a child, but you know, the faster I could say it, the better. I'm not saying that to be critical of my mom or dad. Thank God for them and how they trained me in those ways, but it didn't take then. But I'm saved now, praise the Lord. Who knows how much those things God used in my life. But the Our Father prayer, Jesus didn't say, now make sure, no, wait, when you're done, make sure you say in Jesus' name, amen. So there is some way where that prayer says in Jesus' name without using those words. Yeah. That's where we want to go. The apostles prayed, Acts chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. They prayed and said, Lord, thou which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen that he might take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by persecution fell, that he might go to his own place. And God did. The persecuted prayed, Acts 4. Stephen prayed. You remember Stephen's great prayer? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was being stoned to death. He didn't say in Jesus' name or even amen. Ananias prayed and he went in to anoint Paul to heal his blindness. Peter prayed when he went, before he went to Cornelius, when he was told to rise and kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But he didn't say in Jesus' name. So here's the question. What exactly is meant by praying in Jesus' name? Well, praying in Jesus' name means praying based on who Jesus is. That's the idea. Praying in Jesus' name is not a matter of adding a magic formula at the end. Rather, praying in Jesus' name is the idea of my prayer is based on who Jesus is. It's based on who he is, his person, his character, his work, his words, the fullness of who Jesus is. We might put it this way. If I live my day and I just go through all the responsibilities of my life, and then I go to prayer, and there's no sense that I'm talking to someone different than all this, I'm not really praying in Jesus' name. There's a danger in prayer to where we might not say the exact same words, but we're going to pray for a meal. And we don't want to pray for all the missionaries, and we don't want to pray for all the other needs that we know, but we do want to affirm that God gave us this food. We want to affirm that not everyone has this much food. We want to be thankful for this food. We want to pray, but we must engage with our God. Praying in Jesus' name is not saying the words. It's talking to God based on who he is. There's worship. There's reverence. There's praise. There's honor. We pray based on the life and the character of Jesus. Based on the obedience of Jesus. Based on the righteousness of Jesus. Based on the merits of Jesus. We have access to the Father. Because someone else has provided that access. Someone else has paid the price for us to go there. If I go to pray and I say, Lord, I have read my Bible and I have prayed. I have pastored to the best of my ability. I have been honest. I have given my money. I have done all these things. Therefore, hear my prayer. That's not praying in Jesus' name. If I go to the Lord and I say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to Jesus I can't claim, that's praying in Jesus' name. Jesus told a wonderful story where he talked about the two men who prayed. They went to the temple, same place, same time. One man prayed, Father, I thank thee. I mean, I tithe. Give tithe of all that I possess. I fast twice a week. I do all these things. And I'm not like this publican. The publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus even described his posture and said he wouldn't even look up to heaven. One prayed in Jesus' name. One did not. Neither one said in Jesus' name. See, that's how you and I need to be thinking about our prayers. Could it be that sometimes the very time that we're carving out of life in order to commune with God, we have been duped, we have been deceived, we're not praying at all? Well, the good news is that can change today. Praise the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Do you remember the passage that I'll give you a couple of verses of scripture where Bible examples are used, where Bible examples use the concept of name? You remember one day Peter, this is after Pentecost, Acts chapter 3, he's going to the temple, he sees this man there, he's never walked, and the man is begging, and Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have any. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What's he saying? He's saying it's not me. I don't have any money. I don't have any medicine. It's not me. But God can do this. Jesus can do this. Your lameness, matched up against Jesus, there's no contest. That's praying in Jesus' name. Right? That's the idea. It is the in Jesus' name concept that is all wrapped up in our faith. There is no faith that is valuable to God or to us that's not in Jesus' name. Hey, listen to this. Very different. Right after, of course, this man got up and walked and leaped. He'd never walked before. Now he's leaping. And, of course, it drew a lot of attention. And the Sanhedrin weren't really happy with that because they thought they got rid of this problem when they killed Jesus. And now he's saying this guy's walking because of Jesus. And so the whole, if I could say this without being irreverent, the whole Jesus idea, the whole Jesus problem was right on the front burner, right in Jerusalem, right in the temple. And now you've got Peter and John just preaching up a storm about it. So the Sanhedrin called them in and they were interrogating them and they asked them these words. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, authority, by what power or by what name have ye done this? What's the basis for you doing this? Who gave you this authority? How is it that you come off doing this? What did they say? You can go back and look at it, Acts chapter 4. They didn't flinch. They didn't flinch. They didn't back up. They didn't think, whoa, okay, let's see now. Wait, if I say Jesus, I'm in deeper water. This is not real nice here. These are the folks that were humanly responsible with getting Jesus crucified. Let me think, what should I say? They didn't flinch. They were asked, in what name? And they were very open, it was in Jesus' name. Why? How is it that when persecuted, there are some people that don't flinch? It's not because they pray as in saying prayers. It's because they know Jesus. Because they talk to Jesus. Because they remember who he is. Because they worship. Because their heart, mind, and soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength is filled with who Jesus is. That's in Jesus' name. That's the idea. The character.
The personality, if you will. Who God is. When Paul was healed, not when he was healed, but when he healed, listen to this, Acts 16:18, Paul being grieved, turned and said to the demon spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Church discipline is in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 5:4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of Lord Jesus Christ. The point is that we pray based on what we know of God, who he is, and what he is doing. And God is looking for us to be, moment by moment, day by day, remembering who God is. And the fact is that that's not automatic. Not for any of us. It's not automatic. We drift away. We get distracted. Sometimes we get distracted because we are very busy. And sometimes we get distracted because, frankly, we sin. We're tempted. We toy with wrong things. Sometimes we get distracted because we're deceived. And we start thinking wrongly. And we start getting worried. And we start getting bitter. And we start hating. Or we start being some other sinful attitude that creeps up to us and attacks our hearts. And all of that is addressed by Jesus. Who he is. The in Jesus' name idea. Who is Jesus after all? You know, it's very possible to pray a very unscriptural prayer and yet say in Jesus' name. Like, for example, sometimes did you ever hear someone pray? And I probably have prayed this. I don't know. I hope not. But sometimes we can pray, Dear Holy Spirit, please come to us today. Well, the scripture says he already did. Right? Lord, I pray that you will take care of me today. I don't mean this critically, but he already said he would. That's like if we were to pray and say, please become God. No, he already is. See, there are some things we can just establish and recognize, though, that when I say those words, if I listen with my ears to what my mouth said, I can go back and say, you know, Dan, you just learned something about Dan. Dan hasn't really grasped with this concept. We learn. We recognize, in what way do I not believe the Holy Spirit lives in this body so that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Or whatever. There's all kinds of prayers that we can pray. And we shouldn't be critical. And we should, when someone leads us in prayer, like when John Cox comes to this pulpit and prays, he's not just praying a prayer with the idea that he's doing the praying so you don't have to. No, he's leading us in prayer. We're asking that each one of us bows our heads and close our eyes. Why do we do that? It's not because it's more spiritual. It's because it's less physical. It's because we're shutting our eyes so that our eyes don't see, so that we can see, we trust, with the eye of faith. We're trying to minimize distractions. You say to the children, fold your hands. Why do we do that? It's not because God answers prayers when hands are folded. It's because when hands are folded, hopefully they're not hitting someone else. Hello? Right? We think these things through. We must teach our children this, or else our children will get to the point where they will ask the question, why fold hands? Why close eyes? Why bow heads? Why kneel? And if we don't have answers, they'll say, that's stupid. Because that is stupid to not have answers. And they'll think there are no answers. It's because we are satisfied with immature faith instead of asking good questions and coming up with good answers. Right? Yeah. And we can fall prey to that. We can become just a little, very, very immature. So think about it. What kind of praying is not in Jesus' name? I already mentioned some things. How about if somebody offends me? And I'm praying, but I'm angry. Is that praying in Jesus' name? Not if Jesus said that I'm supposed to forgive. And this opens the whole door if we wanted to go there with this whole idea of Jesus said, when you come and you're going to pray, you're going to give a gift in the temple, and you come and you remember, you think, something comes to mind, and you remember somebody has ought against you. Jesus said,
Leave your gift. Don't pray. Don't give the offering. Don't do that yet. There's something more important than praying. There's something more important than worship right now. There's something that takes precedence. So leave your gift and go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Why does he say that? Is it because that is more important than this? No. It's because this without that is not this. Did you get that? It's because the gift, when there's aught against my brother, it's not a gift to God. It's, I might say the words in Jesus' name, but God didn't hear them. God's saying, go talk to John or George or Fred or whoever it is. Because we're not praying in Jesus' name, because Jesus doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't harbor grudges. Doesn't make any sense to pray one of them. Doesn't make any sense to pray. We might say the words we might say in Jesus' name, but if I'm proud, doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. Yeah, you can think of others. Bitterness, hatred, malice, anger, pride, covetousness, discontent, go on and on. You can think of, there's so many things that we're so prone to. Prayer must be when we come clean. You say, okay, does that mean that I get clean and then pray? No, the praying is the cleaning. I come to get a bath. You know, so you come, and when you pray in Jesus' name, when we talk to the Lord, when we remember who he is and we pray, we remember he's not like that attitude I had or have. He's not like those words that I said. That's not who he is. So what do we do? Well, we can ignore this and say, well, you got to take it or leave it, God. Well, he leaves it. Or we can say, well, this is the best I can do. And he says, you're right. That is the best you can do. But you could let me live through you. Let it be in Jesus' name. Or we could harden our hearts. Or we could say, God, you're right. I sinned again. No surprise to him. No problem to him. We recognize afresh, that's why I love Jesus. He died for this. He's not dead. He rose from the grave. It's all solved. As long as I don't harbor it, as long as I don't keep it, that's this idea of praying in Jesus' name. Prayers, there are some prayers that are a waste of our time. And they can deceive us into thinking that we aren't praying when in fact we're not praying at all. Praying is about who God is. Praying is about who Jesus is. Genuine praying. It's praying in Jesus' name is about praying in the character of Jesus, it's praying for the glory of Jesus, for the honor of Jesus, that he would be glorified and praised. It's praying about his will. So how do we do that? Who is Jesus? Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is the Almighty. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the apostle of our profession. He's called the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author of life, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author of our salvation, the beginning, the end, the blessed and only ruler, the bread of God, the bread of life, the capstone, the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd. He's the Christ. He's the creator. He's the deliverer. He's eternal life. He's everlasting Father. He's the gate. He's the faithful and true. He's the faithful witness. He's the faith and true witness. He's the first and the last, the firstborn from the dead. He is God. He is good shepherd. He is great shepherd. He's great high priest. He's head of the church. He's heir of all things. He's high priest. He's holy. He's true. He's the Holy One. He's the hope. He's the hope of glory. He's the horn of salvation. Are you happy? He's the I am. He's the image of God. Listen to this. He's the King eternal, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the King of kings, the King of the ages. He's the Lamb of God, the Lamb without blemish, the last Adam, the life, the Lion of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living one, the living stone, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords. He is the Lord out of righteousness. He's the man from heaven. He is not yet out of time. Sorry. I didn't plan on walking around. It just happened. Anyway, he's the mediator of the new covenant. He's called the mighty God. I've got the references for anything if you want. He's the morning star. He's the offspring of David. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's called our great God, our Savior, our holiness, our husband, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb. He is called the power of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the prophet, the resurrection, the life, the righteous branch, the righteous one, the rock, the root of David, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of the Most High God, the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. He is the one mediator, the stone the builders rejected, the true bread, the light, the vine, the truth, the way, the wisdom of God, the wonderful counselor, the Word of God. Amen? We don't have to remember all those things to pray in Jesus' name. But we're not praying in Jesus' name if we are known for our sin. We can't stay in darkness and think we're praying in Jesus' name. We're deluded, we're deceived, we're getting no answers to prayers because we are not praying, we're just wasting time. But if you're to go through all of those things, I'm curious today if there could be someone here today for whom there is one name, one title, one description of Jesus that you need to be confronted with more than any other. What would that be? It is Savior. Jesus is Savior. I didn't read that one. Jesus is the only Savior, the one and only Savior, because Jesus is the only one who never sinned, who died for sinners, who rose from the grave. And if you will simply admit that as a sinner, I need a Savior, then I will trust Him. He will save you. You bring nothing. You add nothing. None of us can add a thing. But if you say, I get it. It's not about me. My prayers. It's not about having the right words in Jesus' name. It's about having the right one to trust. The only one that saves is the only Savior, because He's the only sinless one who died for sin and sinners and rose from the grave. Now, if He is your Savior, then all this and more, that's praying in Jesus' name. That's prayer. We recognize when we take time and we get rid of everything else and it's not that the lights are on and nobody's home, it's that the eyes might be closed, but I am more fully engaged with reality than when I'm not specifically praying. It is the time and the place and the way that no matter how much storm there is out here, in here, there's peace. That's yours and mine as Christians. Satan must have robbed that of you. But that's your birthright as a Christian. You can't change anything outside. And there's nothing outside that can change that unless you let it. That's praying in Jesus' name. Loving Him, honoring Him, enjoying Him. There's a great danger in thinking that adding certain words make our prayers right. What makes our prayers right is when we thoughtfully, faithfully believe who we're talking to, and then we talk to Him. Let's stand together. We'll pray.